For most of the people in Libya, and in fact for myself as well, Muammar Gaddafi has led the country since longer than I've been alive and most of Libyans. For more than four decades, he's been at the helm there. Obviously, his reign came to an end yesterday, rather bloodily. But at this point, what happens with the Libyan people? We're joined now by Marina Olivesi, freelance reporter who went to the home in Misrata where Gaddafi's body was taken yesterday. Marina, what did you see?
Well, the scene there was it was complete mayhem. For about a couple of hours, the body of both Muammar Gaddafi and one of his sons, Mutassim, was in a private house in the outskirts of town. There were about a couple of hundred people crowding there, all trying to get into the main room where the bodies were laying down the ground. And people were jubilant. They were crying, singing, praying. They all wanted to get close. They all wanted to touch him. The owner of the house said that at first he tried to control the crowd, but then he stopped trying after a while because he thought it was just cathartic for people to be able to see him from up close. And people needed to, after these years of oppression and fear of this leader, people needed to be able to see him and to touch him and to take a picture of him dead to actually believe that he was dead.
Marine, what was the reaction among the people there to questions about how he died, whether or not it was rebel fighters who may have actually killed him?
It wasn't really in their mind yesterday. They were really just trying to get the announcement of his death confirmed. They just wanted to be part of the story and, again, to try to get evidence and a snapshot from the cell phone of his body. They didn't really seem to care yesterday night of how he died and when. What really mattered was that he died. And one of the spokespersons of the NTC military today reflected that opinion that after all he was trying to put an end to the beginning of that controversy about the conditions of his death, and he said it doesn't matter how he died. Most important is he's dead now.
That's Marina Olivesi, who's a freelance reporter who was in Misrata, Libya, yesterday, where Gaddafi's body was taken. Also with us is Marie Colvin, foreign affairs correspondent for the British Sunday Times. Marie, does it matter as the Libyans move forward into democracy? Will it matter how and under what circumstances Gaddafi died?
Well, everyone here is still stunned, so that's not really the question they're asking. I think it matters in terms of the international community, but the reaction I've gotten from Libyans I've spoken to is they say how he died. You know, Amnesty International, the international community, is protesting the circumstances of his death. Where were they for the last 40 years when, you know, my brother was killed or my father disappeared? That's not the question being asked in Libya today.
Marie Colvin, and in fact, a lot of those people, you know, watch the international community look the other way as their relatives and loved ones were killed in many cases there in Libya. Marie Colvin, is this sense of catharsis that Marina Olivesi talked about and that came through in so many voices that we heard from the streets of Tripoli and expatriates around the world, this sense of catharsis, does it accelerate the next step of forming a nation or does it delay it?
I think the death of Gaddafi is important because it draws a line. What I'm hearing, and of course this is early days now, it's just 24 hours, I think people are going to slow down a bit, do this carefully. Catharsis, jubilation, that's, you know, on the streets, that's what you shout to the skies. That is real. But Libyans want to get the next stage, which is a new government, which is free and democratic Libya. They want to get that right. So what I'm hearing is that tomorrow they will announce that Libya is officially liberated, which is a formal step that will start an electoral process. I think they're going to slow down and do this right.
Well, let me ask you, Marie Colvin is foreign affairs correspondent for the British Sunday Times. Marie, do we have a sense of whether or not there will be a thirst for vengeance in Libya against those who worked with Gaddafi or supported him?
I think that's a real problem. I looked at that in one of my last stories, and you certainly had that problem in Benghazi, which was the first city where the government set up. You had the killings of some of Gaddafi's security people, the killings of prison guards who had been torturing and, in fact, killing people. You haven't seen that in Tripoli yet. But it's a very strange system because there is no government judicial system yet. There is no government prison system. So all of the, they call them katibas, the militia, are holding their own prisoners. There's a lot of leeway for abuse. I think you probably will start seeing some killings, extrajudicial killings. I think this government, transitional government, is very aware of that danger and will try to stop it. Indeed, has said they will try to stop that.
And Marie, this again, as we said often, this is a country that has no real governmental institutions, no national institutions. That seems to be the real danger here, even more than retribution, is that there's no infrastructure.
There's no political infrastructure at all. In fact, there's very little for an oil country. It's amazing. You have potholed streets. You have, you know, electricity not working, problems with water. So just the comforts of life are barely existing here. In terms of political infrastructure, you have goodwill, but no knowledge of what is democracy. This is a place that has not only had a dictator, but hasn't even had one party. Vacuum is a danger. There is a roadmap that everyone's agreed to, which is we'll see elections occur in 18 months. And there's real hope there and will to make that work.
Marie, is it like Iraq in the sense that there's a really difficult calculation of who to bring into the nation-building process and who to repudiate? The dismissal of the Ba'athists in Iraq was hugely destabilizing.
Libya is fortunate in that it does not have the Shia-Sunni division. Libya is a much smaller country, only 6 million, hugely wealthy, 40 million a year in oil revenues. It has started by saying anyone with blood on their hands cannot serve in the government. But there are no plans to cut down as deeply as was done in Iraq. The realization being, basically, if you lived here, you had to have some contact with the regime, and they're going to live with that.
Marie Colvin is foreign affairs correspondent for the British Sunday Times. She joins us from Tripoli, and we also spoke with Marine Ulivesi, freelance reporter who was at the home in Misrata where Muammar Gaddafi's body is currently residing.